6 weeks ago, we set forth a plan to seek to appoint elders in this congregation. We talked about elders, but we emphasized the idea of elders being shepherds in a congregation. This morning, again, I'm going to emphasize the role of shepherds as well as the role of the sheep. At the end of this lesson, I will appoint three men, Brent Fountain, Mike Mansfield, and Stephen Schoolcraft, as shepherds, as overseers, as elders of the congregation here in Rantoul. I want to begin by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In that passage, Paul says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, English Standard Version, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by what every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Again, verses 11 and 12 say that God gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There are no longer apostles and prophets, but there are evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and each plays a vital role in equipping the saints and in building up the body of Christ. I invite you to go with me to John chapter 10 in your Bible, and I'll begin by reading the first two verses of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. In this chapter, Jesus introduces us to the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." In this passage, which basically continues through verse 15, Jesus describes the role of a shepherd. He describes how shepherds are to properly care for their sheep, and Jesus also describes how the sheep should respond to the shepherd. Of course, this is a metaphor, well, actually an allegory, which is an extended metaphor. We're using this to make the point that shepherds of a congregation are to have the same qualities that are described and discussed in this text. And there's also an application for the sheep as well with the members. In this passage, Jesus becomes the role model for those who would serve as shepherds of his people, shepherds of a local church. Regarding the shepherd, in verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Jesus says the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Unlike those in this part of the world, those in the Middle East give names to each sheep in the flock. The point is that the shepherd knows the sheep, indicating relationship, each and every one of them. Then in verse 4, Jesus said, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Again, people who tend to sheep in the West are called sheep herders. Sheep herders make the sheep move forward basically out of fear of the sheep herder and the dogs behind them. By contrast, in the East, shepherds lead at the head of the flock, and the sheep follow because they know and they trust the shepherd. The shepherd goes before the sheep. He leads them. By extension, he sets an example for the sheep, and they follow him. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The good shepherd provides pasture for the sheep. He makes sure that the sheep are properly fed, and he ensures that all their needs are met. In verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And in verse 15b, Jesus again says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The shepherd makes sacrifices for the sheep. He willingly serves the sheep. He cares for his sheep. And finally, in verses 14 and 15a, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Again, Jesus emphasizes that the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows those who are under his care. Jesus also states that the shepherd, once again, is known by the sheep. This makes it clear that the shepherd and the sheep have a relationship, as I said earlier. It's not just that they know each other by name or by identity. This passage stresses familiarity, even intimacy. They have close knowledge of one another. Passages like John chapter 10 provide a pattern for local shepherds in shepherding the people of God. The whole concept of shepherding requires that there be shepherds and that there be sheep, because shepherding does not exist apart from the flock. God's model portrays shepherds and sheep working together in unity, working together in peace, with a common goal in mind. That's what's presented to us in the New Testament, the shepherd and the sheep working together. As we look a little farther down in our text under the same topic of discussion in John 10, verse 27, we see how the sheep or the flock of God responds to the shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Yeah, I missed it. Notice that Jesus said two things about the sheep. He said his sheep listen to his voice, and then Jesus said that the sheep must follow him. So in order for the sheep and the shepherd to function as God intended, the sheep must listen to the shepherd, the sheep must follow the shepherd. Back in verses 3 and 4, both of these things were already said, along with the fact that the sheep know the shepherd. Again, Jesus said the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, the shepherd, and the sheep, here it is, listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. No man serving as a shepherd will be perfect in following the example of Jesus as a shepherd, but qualified men will always serve with the best interest of the sheep in mind. Much of the work of shepherds involves judgment and discernment. Elders do not have legislative power. They have no authority to go beyond what is revealed in the Bible. Paul gave an exhortation and a warning to some elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. He called the elders of Ephesus together, and he said to them, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Notice in verse 32 that the standard for overseeing the flock of God is the word of God. Like all believers, elders, shepherds are not permitted to go beyond what is written. Up to this point, I've been primarily stressing the role and the responsibility of the shepherds. I now want to spend a few minutes talking more specifically about the responsibilities of the sheep toward the shepherds. I first want to direct your attention to two verses in Hebrews chapter 13. We've visited these verses several times over the past 6 weeks. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith," or follow the example of their faith. The sheep are to follow the lead, to follow the example of the shepherds. Why? Because the shepherd's aim, the shepherd's goal, the desired outcome of the conduct of the shepherd is to make it to heaven. And therefore, the aim, the goal, the desired outcome of the shepherds is to see that their flock makes it to heaven. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning," or not with grief, "for this would be unhelpful for you." The members of the church are told to obey and to submit to their elders. That's the listen and follow of John 10, verse 27. And the text of Hebrews 13, 17 supplies two reasons for being obedient and submissive. Gives a negative, if you will, and a positive. Positive reason for obeying and submitting to the shepherds is that they keep watch over your souls. There's an impetus, a desire to press forward with that. The negative reason for obeying and submitting to the elders or the shepherds is that to not do so would not be helpful for you. They watch over your souls, again, because they desire the outcome of heaven. It's all about souls. Notice that the rest of verse 17 says that they may do this with joy, not with grief or groaning. A sheep who refuses to listen to the shepherds, a sheep who refuses to follow the shepherds, is a sheep who will bring grief to the rest of the flock. They will bring grief to themselves. They will bring grief to the shepherds of the church. And they will bring grief to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Your response to the shepherds of a local congregation can be helpful to you, again, or it can be hurtful. Depending on your translation, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge," or to appreciate, to respect, to honor, to give recognition to those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Then in verse 13, he tells them to hold them, these individuals I understand to be the elders, the shepherds, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Hold them in the highest regard and love. And as if to underscore these two admonitions, Paul tells them to live in peace with each other. There's obviously a logical connection here, because if the sheep fail to, or if the sheep refuse to respect and honor the shepherds, and if the sheep fail to or refuse to hold them in the highest regard and love, there will be division. There will not be peace. People don't willingly obey and submit to those whom they don't respect and honor and hold in high regard. Continuing to focus on the attitudes, the behavior of the sheep towards the shepherds, in 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul addresses the need for caution when regarding an accusation against an elder. Paul was writing to Timothy, an evangelist, and he said, verse 19, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses." This text indicates that an accusation against an elder is a serious charge. But in order to make it clear to Timothy that Paul is not showing favoritism to the elders, he follows that statement with the stern admonition that if any elder is found to be sinning, he is to be rebuked in front of everyone. Verse 20, "But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that the others may take warning." Then Paul says in verse 21, "I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism." There's to be no favoritism, no unfair treatment given to or against shepherds or the sheep. The passages we've discussed this morning provide us with plenty of guidance to help the shepherds and the flock to have a healthy, peaceful relationship of working together in the kingdom. These passages have stressed the roles, the duties, the responsibilities of both the shepherds and the sheep. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 21 and 22, Paul instructed Timothy as an evangelist to lay hands on no one hastily. I understand that to mean that Timothy was not to appoint someone as an elder without careful consideration. And in Titus 1, verse 5, in plain language, Paul instructed Titus as an evangelist to appoint elders. It's the responsibility of the evangelist to do this. I want to focus on the word charge for a moment. We just saw that Paul charged Timothy to guard against giving any special treatment to anyone. In 5:21 again, he says, I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. And in the first few verses of 2 Timothy 4, Paul charged Timothy with other responsibilities as an evangelist. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of this, his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The word charge has a variety of meanings. In fact, if you look up the word charge in a dictionary, it has 13 different definitions. And that number's doubled with the subpoints. When Paul uses that word in 1 and 2 Timothy, the word means to entrust someone with a task as a duty or a responsibility. At this point, I ask that Brent Fountain, Mike Mansfield, and Stephen Schoolcraft come up and stand to my right. I will give a charge to these three men and appoint them as elders of the congregation in Rantoul. I'll use portions of 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, and Acts 20, 28 through 32 as the basis for the charge. In the presence of God and Jesus Christ, I solemnly call on you, I charge you to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that you shepherd the church of God which he bought with his own blood. Be aware that savage wolves may come in among you, not sparing the flock, and that even from your own number, men may arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard and remember this warning. As a defense against such departures, I point you to God and to the word of his grace, his word being the standard by which you will exercise all your duties. Brent, I ask you, will you accept this charge and pledge yourself to it?
I will.
Mike, I ask you, will you accept this charge and pledge yourself to it?
I will.
Stephen, I ask you, will you accept this charge and pledge yourself to it?
I will.
Now I'll ask the congregation as a group, and you can respond vocally or you can respond in your heart. Do you pledge to respect, to honor, to obey, and be submissive to those who have just been appointed to watch over your souls in serving as shepherds of this flock? That is our responsibility. Please return to your seats. I've asked Steve Bonk to come up front and lead us in prayer at this time. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we seek your grace and your favor on us. We are so thankful for the chief shepherd who laid down his life for all of us. We pray that these men will follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that they will learn to lay down their lives for your sheep, and that together with your sheep, we might all bring honor and glory and good attention to you. May our efforts together be to follow Jesus. Bless and feed us on your word and your will through these men, through our studies, and through our efforts together in the cause of Christ. Through Jesus we ask. Amen.
In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" All of us are gathered here today because we believe in the value of the soul. The shepherds are given the responsibility to watch over the souls of the sheep that make up a local church. You cannot find a more serious charge than that. The fundamental aim and purpose of a local church is to instruct and build up and encourage the saved who make up that church and to teach the lost whom we encounter. If you are here this morning and if your soul is lost, in the whole scheme of things, when all is said and done, whatever else you do, whatever else you accomplish will not really matter. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, when his readers were outside of Christ, Peter says that they were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. If you are outside of Christ and you are ready to obey the gospel, won't you return to the shepherd of your soul? Let's sing together at this time the song that's been chosen.